Acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, flowery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine.
Welcome to Yarns at Yinhu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Long-time listener, episode 2, Thursday, August 22nd. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Silver Lake Tea House. Show notes for this episode are located on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. I hope you will consider liking the show's Facebook page or joining the Yarns at Yinhu group on Ravelry. I welcome your suggestions and comments. You can find me on Ravelry and Twitter as Sarah Pomegranate. Today's episode features segments titled Backstory, The Back Porch, Ever Expanding Skill Set, A Little Bit of Learning, and Gratitude Journal. As the title of today's podcast suggests, I am a longtime listener of podcasts ever since I got my first iPod, which has probably been 6 or 7 years ago now. I have been listening to podcasts and they help me do a couple of things. One, they motivate me to exercise, and two, they help motivate me to do chores around the house. If I can just put my headphones in and listen to a great podcast while I'm working, the time seems to fly and it doesn't seem like drudgery at all. We don't have a TV at Silver Lake Tea House, and so we do a lot of listening here to natural sounds and the environment around us, as well as radio programs and podcasts. So I'd like to talk about a few of my favorites. I started out by listening to food podcasts because I have a great interest in entertaining and cooking at home. And two of my favorites are Good Food from KCRW in Santa Monica. The host is Evan Kleiman. She's a former restaurant owner, and she is incredibly knowledgeable about food and culture, not just in California, although the program does focus on California produce. They have a segment from the Santa Monica Farmers Market every week, which just makes me, and I think all East Coasters, just drool or turn green with envy because there's so much available there all year round. She has excellent guests from restaurants. She has a recurring guest in Jonathan Gold, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning food writer, and he reviews restaurants all over California. And she has people from coast to coast and also from abroad talk about food, food culture, food science, food politics, use of water, animal activism, all different kinds of things that have to do with food. She's just excellent, and I really enjoy her podcast. Another one I like a lot is Lynn Rossetto Casper's podcast called The Splendid Table, and that's put out by Public Radio International. She is from the northern Midwest, and she also has a number of guests on the show. She talks a little bit more about recipes and advice for the home cook. She also has a portion of her program where she answers questions from listeners, and that is very interesting because a lot of times listeners will call wondering the same things that I've been wondering. And she's incredibly informative, very patient, very specific, and listening to her show is a lot of fun. Both of these programs run about an hour, so it's perfect for a walk. Another one is, I first heard it on Vermont Public Radio. I think it comes from a radio station in Wisconsin somewhere. It's called To the Best of Our Knowledge. This program has themed episodes about all kinds of cultural and literary topics. One thing I want to say about listening to podcasts that are put out by public radio stations is that if you listen and you listen regularly, you should do your best to make a financial contribution. I'm also a listener of a few knitting podcasts, and I'm a relatively new listener to knitting podcasts because until I picked up knitting, which has only been about a year ago, it didn't really occur to me that there would be a knitting podcast or what might be involved in a knitting podcast. And a few that I admire very much and I now listen to regularly are Knitting Pipeline, The Knit More Girls, and Never Not Knitting. I'd like to say just a little bit about each of these podcasts and what I appreciate about them, beginning with Paula's podcast, Knitting Pipeline. She's just so wonderful because she incorporates so many different aspects of her life into her podcast. She is a piper with a piping band, and she talks about playing the bagpipes. She is an acute observer of many things in nature and very knowledgeable about bird life, plant life, planting your garden to attract birds and butterflies. She is also an incredibly knowledgeable knitter, and she provides some great tutorials in addition to her audio podcast. I can't say enough about Paula and her influence. She's just such a pleasure to listen to, and she is such a force in the knitting community. One of the very important things these podcasters do is they draw together folks in the fiber world to form a kind of community. Some people, like me, are lucky enough to live in the vicinity of a yarn store that has a vibrant community and maybe has a knit night and has people gathering on a regular basis. But a lot of people don't have that luxury. And so I think a podcast is one way to draw people together. You imagine everyone tuning in at different times during the week and listening to the podcast and maybe participating online. It's a really important contribution. The Knit More Girls are a mother and daughter podcasting team, and their multi-generational knitting production is really a lot of fun to listen to because you get a lot of the banter between mother and daughter. They have been doing not only knitting, but quilting, sewing, and spinning for a very long time. They entertain questions from their listeners, and they're frequently changing up their podcast segments to keep it fresh and interesting. The Knit More Girls have been podcasting for a very long time. I think they're nearing their 300th episode. Finally, I'd like to say a little bit about Alana Dekos and Never Not Knitting. Alana's podcast is very informative and interesting, a little bit different from the other podcasts because she doesn't put out episodes quite so frequently. She's a designer, so I imagine her time is very limited. And the majority of her episodes seem to focus on stories about knitting and people's personal stories about knitting, creating something of an oral history project about knitting and how people get started knitting, where the journey takes them, people they've met along the way. Sometimes they've put that craft away for a very long time and then they pick it up again. Sometimes the story of how they learn to knit is parallel to something else important in their lives. She just does such a great job curating these stories, and they are typically audio recordings of the people who wrote them. So they're reading their own work and sharing their own stories. You get to hear all the different voices. It's incredibly powerful and a great idea for a podcast. I very much enjoy listening to it. I like the flexibility of an audio podcast because you can be doing other things while you're listening to it. I even listen to podcasts sometimes when I'm driving, when I'm working, when I'm knitting. You feel like you get to know the folks who bring you these podcasts, and it's an extraordinary effort on their part to make it new and interesting every week. I am so appreciative of all of their efforts, and if you have a chance, I hope you will give a listen to some of the podcasts that I've mentioned. I will link all of them in the show notes on yarns@yenhu.com. In part two of his essay on criticism, Alexander Pope writes, "A little learning is a dangerous thing. Drink deep or taste not the Pierian spring." This is often misquoted as "a little knowledge is a dangerous thing," but it is a little learning, and I'm hopeful that Alexander Pope will forgive me for this segment because I'd like to talk just a bit about something that I've been reading and something that I've been interested in, but not go into exhaustive detail. That something is a book by Susan Cain. It's called Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. And she begins with a passage about Rosa Parks and this concept of quiet fortitude. She asks, what does it mean to be quiet and have fortitude? And then she launches into this argument she has throughout the text, which is that even though about half of Americans are introverts, we have a decided bias in this country against quiet. There is an extrovert ideal, she writes, and this bias against introverts can be very limiting. We're missing out on some of the powers of introverted people and what they can bring with them in terms of values and abilities and skills. Susan Cain takes the time to attempt to define the difference between introverts and extroverts, which is something that lots of folks have tried to do, and there have been lots of studies on this. But I really like her explanation a lot because she talks about spending energy and what is the difference between introverts and extroverts when it comes to using their energy. She says that an extrovert in a social situation with a lot of people will gather energy from that experience, while an introvert gathers energy from being alone, from being quiet, or from being surrounded by a very small group of close family and friends. I think this is a great definition and a great way to define the difference between introverts and extroverts. She goes on to talk about the powers that introverted people have, the particular sets of skills that they bring with them, and how some of these are in really short supply sometimes, especially when it comes to corporations and corporate thinking. Some of the powers of an introvert she lists are the ability to work slowly and deliberately, an extreme power of concentration, the ability to devote great amounts of energy to relationships with a small circle of family, of colleagues, of friends, the ability to listen more than one talks, and during discussion to prefer deep topics or talking at length about a single topic over small talk. Finally, Susan Cain makes the point that being an introvert and being shy are not necessarily the same thing. She says that no one is completely an introvert or completely an extrovert. We all have those qualities within us, and different situations will call them forth in a different degree. But she claims that our bias against introversion is preventing Americans in particular from developing the skills that I mentioned before, and she sees those skills as a very important asset in relationships especially and how all kinds of organizations function. I was thinking about what all of this research on introverts and extroverts means in terms of crafting and knitting and developing a post-apocalyptic skill set. And it seems to me, I don't know if you'll agree, but it seems to me that often people who are introverted are the kinds of people who develop skills in crafting and making things. Do you agree? Do you think that part of the power of introverts is their capacity for focusing and concentrating and building skills in the handcrafts? I hope you'll participate on Facebook, on Twitter, on Ravelry, and let me know what you think. I was just thinking about corporations all over America offering knitting classes for executives so they could develop their powers of extreme concentration and other kinds of interpersonal skills. I think that would be a really neat initiative. For the ever-expanding skill set this week, I have been knitting the Shaylin Shawl by Lila Robb. It was gifted to me by Trez J100. And I'm very thankful for the pattern. I've been knitting it with my hand-spun loop bat in Cicada. And I started with the pale gray color, and I'm working my way out toward the rust color. I had the shawl almost completely knit, and I decided that size 9 needles were too big, and the whole thing looked kind of sloppy. So I switched to size 6 needles and I started the shawl over. The pattern is very easy to knit. It's a very, very nice clean design, and I think it will look really good with this smaller size needle. The only alterations I made were using a suggestion that at the beginning and end of each row, using a yarn over on the wrong side, so that when you go to the knit row and you're making one left or making one right, that yarn over is already there and that keeps the edge of the shawl from getting too tight. I'm very appreciative of that tip. I used it in making Stephen West's Daybreak shawl because I had read a lot of notes on Ravelry about a tight border being a problem. And I use that technique on the Daybreak shawl, and it's really coming in handy for the Shaylin. One of the first signs of fall at Yinhu is the sound of acorns dropping from the oak tree, hitting the roof, and rolling down the very steep slope of the roof onto the lower roof and then onto the ground. It's nice if that sound doesn't come until very late in August, but unfortunately this August, we heard that sound this week. Those first acorns dropping on the roof is the earliest sign of autumn. And I heard squirrels at work in the woods as well when I was taking walks this week. And so this next pattern that I finished is a very fitting addition to today's episode. On the back porch this week is the Oak Trail Cloche by Alana Dacos. This is the second pattern I've knit out of Botanical Knits. It's an incredibly enjoyable pattern. It's a little bit easier than the pressed leaves that I was making, that I finished last week. It has a really nice acorn design, and it's interesting the way the cloche knits up because you start with a long panel and then you pick up stitches to knit in the round for the rest of the hat. Has a great shape to it. I've knit it out of Cascade 220 Heathers that I had left over from another project. And I really like the weight of the yarn, the color, and the way it came out. I will post a photo on my website, and of course it's available on my project page on Ravelry. Our quote today is brought to us courtesy of Goodreads. People generally see what they look for and hear what they listen for. Harper Lee. Gratitude Journal. Thank you to Stitchin' Out Loud and Snottestein on Ravelry for joining the Yarns at Yinhu group. And thank you to Barb, Jim, Donna, Joy, Laura, Patricia, Lauren, and Faith for liking the Yarns at Yinhu page on Facebook. Thank you for listening. The music in today's episode is So Wheat, music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you will consider leaving a star rating or a review on iTunes. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.